Coming to you on some serious tape delay via a podcast near you. From that hockey hotbed of San Jose, California, it's Dudes on Hockey.
He is now accepting callers. He is calling me Dude.
And now, your hosts, Mike and Doug.
Hey there, and welcome to Dudes on Hockey Podcast. I'm Mike, that's Doug.
Dude, happy New Year.
Happy New Year, dude.
Dude, what'd you do to celebrate New Year's last night? Was the Wham cover band in full effect?
The Wham cover band was out. Dude, we were playing. Everybody loves Wham. We have so many gigs coming up.
I hear you're playing Wham Fest.
Actually, I am. And I'm also thinking about starting a Flock of Seagulls cover band as well.
I hope so. Good. I'm in a Milli Vanilli cover band.
Ooh.
Yeah.
How do we know if you're actually playing in it? Do you have people off stage actually playing? Because that would be a true Milli Vanilli cover band.
Oh, my lips are moving, but nothing's coming out.
Nothing's happening.
Sort of like the Sharks last night.
Yeah.
Their skates were moving, but nothing was happening.
Yeah.
At least not in the second and third period. Oh, boy, dude. Well, here we are. The Sharks have played four games since our last podcast. This is our first podcast of 2014, dude. And the Sharks have gone 3-1 since our last recording.
Right.
But yet somehow still...
We still find a way.
It's hard to feel awesome about some of these games. Like, well, let's go back to the 23rd. The Colorado game, the 5-4, very entertaining game.
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. 5-4 shootout win at home. If you enjoy end-to-end hockey, you know, this is a game for you, right?
Mm-hmm. And if you also enjoy the Sharks coughing up a lead late, this game is also for you.
Well, what Sharks game does that not happen in?
I don't know.
Because that happened on Friday, December 27th as well versus Phoenix.
Yes, it did.
Where the Sharks blew a third period lead again. Uh-huh. I mean, in the Colorado one, they didn't just blow the lead to tie it. They gave up the lead
and
had to have a Joe Pavelski miracle with a few ticks of time left on the clock to even get it to overtime.
Yeah, I think it was about 20 seconds left, and they gave up two goals in about 30 seconds with less than 2 minutes left in the game, and it looked like they were going to lose.
Yeah.
It really did.
So you've got two home shootout wins where the team coughed up the lead in the third period in both games. But
yes,
it is still 4 points. Correct?
Yeah, still counts.
So what we said at the last podcast is that it's critical that the Sharks be at least the second seed over the Kings. And right now, that is the case. You know, that they are 2 points ahead of the Kings. The Kings have lost 4 in a row. And the Sharks are 2 points ahead, you know, as we're almost at the halfway point, you know, for the Sharks. They're at 40 games after they play Edmonton tomorrow. Dude, we have breaking news.
We do?
Breaking news. My iPad has just alarmed. You'll be thrilled to know that the Carolina Hurricanes have acquired John Michael Lyles for Tim Gleason.
I saw this on the Twitter feed earlier, on the Twitter machine.
Fantastic.
Like, I really want to play the Winter Classic. Nah. He played like the pregame skate and they pulled him out of it.
Oh.
Pregame skate. Oh, you're not playing, mate.
That's rough.
Have fun in Carolina.
That's brutal, actually.
Yeah. It's great, though.
Anyways.
Okay.
So, I mean, you got those two games, which were wins, but still, in a way, disappointing.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have the Ducks game at home.
Which we snap off a Ducks 10-game winning streak. Is that right? They won 10 in a row. They come to the tank, and the Sharks break them off, and they look pretty good.
The Sharks look really good.
Yeah.
In a 3-1 win, even though it was 3-0. And when the Ducks scored that goal in the third period, you're going, oh, sweet Lord.
This is definitely happening
this
again.
This is not going to happen again, is it? The Sharks were able to hang on and win that game in one of their best performances of the year. And the Sharks looked really strong. and they're playing with a little bit of a ragtag band right now. Mm-hmm. We've got some injury problems, which we'll get to in a minute. But you feel good after that game, and maybe I felt a little overconfident with the Sharks going into Anaheim last night, and I thought in the first period the Sharks played really well, and you were able to tie up the game early in the second, and then came, I think, the worst shift of the season, dude, where the Sharks looked like the Keystone Cops. We just rewatched that, that goal.
And man, was it pleasurable to watch that again.
It was so bad with the Sharks trying to clear the zone, clearing the puck into their back, and it was terrible. And then finally, Beauchemin, you know, puts the puck through the double pad stack of Niemi, which was not exactly stacked. It was like a double pad crack. But it felt like that puck was in our end forever.
My favorite part was when Nieto was trying to clear, and then Kennedy blocked him from clearing, and Kennedy blocked him back into the zone. You're not clearing our zone, no sir.
Might have been the best thing Kennedy did all game. He's a minus three last night. The fourth goal was also awful, with Andrew Desjardin being extremely sloppy behind Niemi, coughing up the puck to the Ducks, and they score seconds later. And that's on him. You know, that's a terrible, terrible sloppy play. And then after that, it was just on. And then the Ducks just poured it on thick and buried the Sharks 6-3. The Sharks picking up Bracken Kern's goal for the third goal, but it was not close. At the second and third periods, it was embarrassing. I mean, how bad it was. And the straw that broke the Sharks' back was that terrible shift that led to that goal that was scored by Beauchemin. And after that, they just couldn't recover, dude. And they pull Niemi, and Niemi had some big saves in that game. But after that, you know, the Ducks started going, he couldn't stop it. And the D was terrible. And it was just, you go from one of the best performances to one of the worst, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, dude.
So deep sigh.
I know. But, you know, the thing is, the Sharks are still 2 points over LA. They're 25-9-6. They've only lost one game in regulation at home all year. Are we talking ourselves into depression here?
Yeah, I think it is. I looked at the same thing on the way over here, and I was like, the Sharks are the fifth best team in hockey, according to the records. They're the fifth best. Pittsburgh is better. Chicago's better. St. Louis is better. Anaheim is better. And there's the Sharks in fifth. If I had told you the Sharks had a better record than the Bruins, would you have believed me?
No.
I wouldn't have believed that either. It's true.
The Bruins have lost a full four games more than the Sharks have.
So I don't know if our expectations are just out of whack. I think the thing that gets me the most is seeing how, one, they're so poor in the third period of holding on to games.
I know. It's just so frustrating.
It's so frustrating. And then they also find a way to give up points to teams like Phoenix and Colorado, where those should be 2-0 games in terms of points.
Mm-hmm.
And they end up giving away points to those teams that you hope won't come back to haunt you later.
Colorado's not embarrassing.
No, and neither is Phoenix. But like, but when it comes down to it, you know, you're, instead of shutting them out, giving them no points, they're each getting a point.
Yeah.
So if the Sharks fall, God forbid, to fourth in the Pacific, which is not impossible because Vancouver has 53 points, you want to look back on that later and go, well, we coughed up third period leads to these two other teams that are fighting for a wild card spot. Mm-hmm. You have to take the two and not give them anything. The Sharks have been pretty sloppy about that.
Yes.
And they've won a lot of their games and the Sharks have 6 shootout wins, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. Six shootout wins,
which is second most in the NHL.
Five shootout losses. So it's not like they're super lucky in the shootout. Unlike LA, who is 6-2 in the shootout. So LA has gotten a lot of points in the shootout.
11 games in the shootout. So 25% of our games are going to the shootout.
Right. A full quarter of the games.
That's not what you're looking for.
No, that's
not what you're looking for. So yes, are we being a little melodramatic? Probably. Could it be worse if we're fans of the Minnesota Wild? Yes. They've lost six in a row.
Yeah.
You know, you could feel pretty bad about yourself if you were a Carolina Hurricanes fan now that they've gone 2-4-4 and we will not make the playoffs. I will not have to eat this microphone.
they are now a full 10 games under 500.
Here's the thing that I thought was interesting after the game last night. Tom McClellan addressed the team before they got on the plane, and this is what he said. You have to look at yourself individually. I challenged them to do that on the plane on the way home. He said to the guys, what do you do? What do you bring to the team? Moving forward, are you an energy guy? Do you hit? Do you block shots? Or do you just take up space?
Right.
So my question to you is, who's just taking up space right now? Who are those people? I have one answer, and that person is Tyler Kennedy. Is just taking up space.
Oh,
dude.
Man.
He's a miserable -6, I think, in his last four games. And this guy who we brought in to be an improvement over TJ Gagliardi is frankly not really that much more impactful.
I want to like him so much.
I do too.
But the stats, you're right, they don't lie. He's not playing a huge amount now. He's not scoring a huge amount, clearly. It's just not working. It's just something's
not
working.
We were warned about this.
We were.
By the Pittsburgh Penguins podcast, we were warned. And we sort of laughed them.
No. Yeah.
And, you know, this guy is, by all accounts, a very streaky player. And has he hit that streak yet? No. Could it come? Absolutely. But right now, they don't seem to have a lot of faith in him. And he is a black hole in terms of defensive responsibilities. Been pretty bad. I mean, he was involved in some of those blunders last night.
Mm-hmm.
Racking up a -3. Not playing well. Andrew Desjardins has to also be in this category of, are you just taking up space? Last night, lazy.
Right.
This guy who, you don't usually hear the word lazy attached to his name very often.
No.
Especially with his story.
I had a conversation actually with my friend Scott about Desjardins. We said, why is he in the lineup every night? You know, it's like we sort of had this conversation, and the answer came up with is, unlike a lot of players, and maybe Tyler Kennedy is one of those players, you know what you're going to get from Desjardins most nights. And he had a bad night last night, and that notwithstanding, Desjardins plays pretty much the same game every night. And I understand that can be comforting, but the fact is that it seems like that game isn't particularly impactful. It's not detracting. I guess that would be the one way to describe it. It doesn't necessarily detract from the team. But it's not like he's really saying, oh, you know, thanks to Desjardins, the Sharks are able to win the game. It sort of never happens that way.
John McCarthy, I'm done. I've seen enough, dude.
Yeah, yeah.
Team worst, -8, 21 games. Seen enough.
No points.
No points.
Yeah.
I don't need to see anymore.
We don't need to see him again.
I think the answer is in. When we've seen this guy like in fits and starts for the last 4 years, really.
Yeah.
And he's never made an impression. You know, I don't think the guy's an NHL player.
Right. He's not.
So
it's pretty clear.
And James Shepherd. I mean,
James Shepherd
is this guy's an enigma, right? I mean, former first round draft pick. And he can't even stay in the lineup.
-5. He's just not contributing.
What is he? What is his job?
Right.
You know what I mean? And I think that goes to McClellan's point is, what are you supposed to do? Are you a scorer? Are you a hitter? Are you a grit guy? Are you a penalty killer? That doesn't seem to describe any of the things that he's offering.
It's sort of like that moment in Office Space. You like that movie? Office Space? Yeah. Where the guy says, what would you say you do here? I'm a people person. I'm a people person.
Oh, man. So you're saying James Shepherd's a people person?
No, I'm saying James Shepherd, what would you say you do here?
The Sharks are in a little bit of a critical stage right now with Tomas Hertl being out, having successful knee surgery. It went well. The good news is the ACL was not torn.
Okay.
So surgery goes well. I actually was still awake at midnight last night because
it's New Year's.
Well, I know, but I normally would have been sleeping if my neighbors hadn't have been lighting everything on fire. I think that they could find their dogs were barking and they were all screaming at each other, but that's besides the point. And this was the screams of joy, by the way.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah. Yeah. I love my neighbors.
Get the F out of here.
So I'm on the Twitter machine on my smartphone, laying in bed, just praying that they don't wake up my child, which they did not. She can sleep through fireworks, but if I walk by her room during her afternoon nap, she's up.
That's how this works.
Yeah, that's how this goes in my house. Anyways, Tomas Hertl was feeling well enough to send out a tweet, Happy New Year at midnight. I felt like saying, shouldn't you be sleeping on pain meds? I wanted to write back, like, what are you doing awake? But he's out, and for an unknown period of time.
Right.
And we know how the Sharks are with injuries this year, which is very protective,
mm-hmm.
right?
And he could be out a really long time and we wouldn't know it. I mean, knee surgery, just those words alone, ACL or no ACL, not good news.
No, and they're not going to rush him back. They're
no,
not.
No, no, no.
And if that means he doesn't play this year, then he doesn't.
Right.
Like, I think they're going
to... I think there's a very, very distinct possibility that's not he's not playing again this year.
Because he's a long-term asset, not someone who... I mean, Havlat, if they could staple him together and throw him out there, they will. You know?
Yeah. They put him together with like with rubber bands and duct tape, they would.
And Adam Burrish, I think if he said he wanted to play tomorrow, they might not, you know, blink about that.
Yeah.
But, you know, Hertl is the future of this team. I mean, the future, a major part of the future. And they're not going to put him out there unless they're 100% sure that he's going to be able to be healthy. So I don't think we can count on him. Havlat is back on the IR with full body problems. We don't know what.
Yeah.
And Tommy Wingles took a really bad hit in the first Anaheim game.
Mm-hmm.
And he's out. Didn't play last night.
Yeah.
So
it's getting thin.
It is.
Team's and getting a little thin here.
It is getting a little thin. So with the Sharks having to rely on some of these guys.
Good. Thank God we have Bracken Kearns.
Bracken Kearns has scored in back-to-back games, dude.
I know.
So, I mean, Bracken Kearns is going to be playing. For
oh,
sure.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He's going to be playing. And the Sharks are playing Nieto. The Sharks are playing Freddie Hamilton. Where do the Sharks go if some of these injury problems are going to be long term?
Put Scott Hannon at forward.
Scott Hannon is,
not
I guess, the only one who's rotting on the bench right now,
mm-hmm.
due to the lights out play of Jason Demers. He's actually playing pretty well. He's got 16 points.
Yeah.
I mean,
he's not doing bad.
Is very quietly turned his season and possibly his career around. I mean, this guy could have a 30 plus point year,
mm-hmm.
you know, with over 10 power play points. So I mean, I think Demers makes some bad plays sometimes, but I can't really complain about him that much. I guess I'm trying to figure out, can the Sharks hang on without Hertl, without Wingles, which we don't know if Wingles, I mean, Wingles might be back tomorrow,
mm-hmm.
but we don't know. Or do they have to do something to address the depth on this team, which is apparently poor?
We talked about this last week, dude. I think the Sharks are going to stand pat. I don't see they're not going to make a huge move at this point. They're not going to go and try and get somebody to fill these gaps. We got some guys on the bench, you know, that are hurt. Hopefully they're going to come back. I mean, I really can't wait till Rafi Torres comes back at this point. I mean, it's just, I'm practically counting the minutes at this moment.
But those are weeks. I mean, he is weeks away.
It's,
and if Burge comes back, that's also weeks away.
I haven't heard anything about Burge in a long time.
I heard that both those guys were skating. Okay. I mean, that's, but in terms of when they're going to play, spin mum's the word on both of them. We know how secretive the Sharks are. I'm concerned that they're not going to be able to survive the next 8 weeks by playing Bracken Kearns, McCarthy, yeah, Freddie Hamilton,
Nieto,
and over, Kennedy. And then you're in turn overplaying your star players,
right?
You know, and putting them in a position where, yeah, you make the playoffs, but there's so many miles on these guys who are in their mid-30s, like Jumbo and Marlow, that you might be playing them into the ground a little bit.
Works for Anaheim, man. I mean, Anaheim's the best team in the Pacific, and the reason is because of Getzlaf and Perry. These guys are frigging monsters. They're both plus 18. They both have over 20 goals.
Yeah, they're stars.
These guys are just star players. Absolute monsters this year.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Although Getzlaf is shooting at almost 20%, which can't continue. But I think that's the reason I know we didn't think that the Ducks were going to be great this year. I clearly underestimated the power of these guys. They also have other guys, random guys like Nick Bonino chipping in.
I will continue to stand by my statement that in April and May, I would rather see the Ducks than LA, even as good and purely dominant as the Ducks are at home, not having lost in regulation yet. I don't believe that group can go the distance. And I know the Kings can. So,
right. I
would way rather play the Ducks than the Kings.
I think you're right. They're obviously more, they have a couple players that are much more dangerous and Getzlaf and Perry. It's just those guys, they just can't be stopped at this point. But
they
were
stopped. We did stop them a couple nights ago.
Right.
So, and the Sharks were terrible last night, mm-hmm, for 2/3 of the game. So, I don't know. I mean, like, we did underestimate them, you know, and they're going to be a playoff team. They're going to be around.
Oh,
they're,
yeah,
going to be around at the end.
And we're going to see how they do. Right, that's going to be the question.
Yeah,
how are
they
disappointed
last year? You know, when they got to the playoffs, they lost, and
yeah,
we both thought that was exactly what was going to happen, and that's what happened. They lost. Once they got there, they were out, and I think it would depend on who they drew. You know, if they're the one and they draw Vancouver,
yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean,
if Vancouver gets hot all of a sudden,
yeah,
somehow.
I don't know.
And, yeah. Dude, we got a AVB Spurs email from Northern England, from David, Sharks fan in Northern England. Maybe we should talk about our wonderful Spurs, dude.
Yeah, Spurs.
Who won?
Spurs won today.
At Old Trafford.
Yeah, they win at Man U, making AVB look like a fool ever since he's been let go.
Who's AVB for those fans out there who don't follow the
Andres
Tottenham Hotspur Villas Football Club?
Boas, the former manager of the Tottenham Hotspur, which, by the way, the Tottenham Hotspur coming to the United States next summer, or this summer in 2014, coming to two MLS cities, not San Jose.
I thought like they were...
I know.
I thought their sister
team. I know. When I heard that they were coming to the United States, I was like, they're coming to San Jose. Like, this is going to be huge. They're going to Seattle and Chicago.
Seattle's weird, so it's like a Dempsey thing, I guess?
Yeah. I wonder if they would have come to San Jose if the stadium was done.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, because I think they could probably get some good fans there.
Anyway. Yeah. Anyways, Spurs have turned it around. The Spurs are exactly like the Sharks, by the way. We couldn't have picked a better team.
We picked
exactly
the correct team to follow.
They are the Sharks in every way. They're a good team, a top, you know,
five or six team.
Top five or six in the league, and then in the end, they find a way to let you down.
It's so true.
That's why we love it. We love every moment, dude. What else does he say?
Well, he gives us some football stuff, which I think I'm gonna pass because I don't think people care about. Rafi Torres, we talked about. What happened to Jonathan Quick? Is he injured still, out of form, or just doesn't like his new pads?
I think Quick is hurt.
Yeah, I think he's hurt too. But I guess the question is, we don't have the U.S. roster. That's the thing that sort of leads us into it. That seems to be one of the bigger controversies of the recent past is, you know, these Olympic rosters are now going to be announced. And I know that they were going to announce after the Winter Classic. And I think as of this recording, where it's still happening. So I don't think we have the Olympic roster yet.
Oh, yeah, the US. Dude, We're going to miss it.
I don't think there's going to be any surprises from a Sharks perspective. It's pretty much, I know Kevin Allen put out his picks a few days ago, and there was certainly some controversy versus the goalies. I think he picked Ben Bishop, which
he did.
Which
yeah.
I still think is not
He's
advisable.
He's having a great year.
But, you know, I guess it also depends on Howard's injury status. I think he had Howard out, right? It was
yeah.
Miller.
I mean, Howard's back, but was terrible.
Yeah.
In his last game, so I don't know how he's doing today if he's playing today.
But Pavelski will definitely be on the team. I think. Right. I think Allen had him as the number two center. So you know we're going to see Pavs certainly play for the U.S. again. There's a lot of stuff about the Canadian roster, and it seems like the usual suspects, at least it looks like right now, all of the representatives from the Sharks that played in 2010 will not be playing.
It seems like I've seen so many different versions of people's predicted rosters, and a couple people have Boyle in there. Some people have Vlasic instead. Couture seems to be the only consistent.
Right. He seems to be the consensus pick
and
from the Sharks.
I guess Marlowe, I think, is the one that I would say is pretty safely not going, but Boyle.
The funny thing is you might be able to make the best argument for Marlowe.
I think you have the best argument for Joe. I mean, how do you not take Joe? He's leading the NHL in assists.
But
he's one of the best defensive
Getzlaf
centers
is so
in the
much
league.
Better right now.
You take them both.
Then you don't take Tavares?
You take Tavares.
Then you don't take Crosby then?
You take Crosby.
And then how many centers do we have in this team?
I don't know. Then do you take another one of these guys and you play him at the wing and have him take turns? Like taking draws? Wouldn't you want the best players there instead of the...
And you don't want Taves either?
I want Taves.
How many centers do
you know what,
need?
Dude? I don't want any of them. I hope they
Not
take
we. How many centers
all
need?
Of the worst guys.
Yeah.
And suck an egg.
Right.
But... I don't see how you don't take Joe, but
number
let
one
me say
center
this.
Sean Bergenheim.
Let me say this.
Okay,
I hope they don't.
You hope they don't take Joe.
I hope they don't. I hope they don't take Joe, because I want him to be home and resting.
Yeah, yeah.
Because
for that reason, I don't want them to take Boyle either. I mean, I made the case a few weeks back that he hasn't been the same since the injury. I'm not so sure I'm gonna step aside from that. I still think he's not all the way there.
Defensively, not all the way there. I don't think he's lost anything offensively.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he picked a corner basically last night on Hiller.
Right.
But, yeah, I think might not be the worst thing for the Sharks if those three, Marlowe, Boyle, and Jumbo, did not go. Would they be disappointed? Probably.
Sure.
But,
I mean, everybody wants to represent their country.
But maybe not the worst thing. Now, the other thing that's very likely is that one of them or all three of them might not get picked right now, but someone's going to get hurt.
That's true. And they could be sort of the backup.
Yeah. And then they could get the call later.
Mm-hmm.
So I think Pavelski's probably the only 100% lock, right? Other and also Niemi. And other than that.
Well, Hurdle not anymore because he's hurt.
Right. Other than that, I think, you know, Couture is very likely. Vlasic appears to be very likely, but not a lock, either of them, I think.
Yeah, I'd be a little surprised if Vlasic got selected, to be honest with you.
Oh, gosh, he seems to be the one dude that's most consistently, even over Couture.
Really?
Yeah, on people's rosters.
Huh.
Because he is as steady as you get. Very reliable and very responsible in his own zone.
Then it makes me wonder why they're not going to take Patrice Bergeron. Because he's the forward equivalent, right? Is there a more solid defensive forward than Patrice Bergeron anywhere? I don't think so.
Yeah, no, hard to say.
Right. I mean,
Datsyuk.
Well, not for Canada. Thank God.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
Oh, man. Can you imagine Datsyuk playing for Canada? That wouldn't even be fair. Datsyuk and Crosby on the same line. Not fair. Okay, dude, let's look ahead. So the new year has begun. I still have some days off. I think you're off until next week, which is great. But the Sharks do not have days off. They are playing Thursday, Saturday, and Sunday this week. Edmonton. Okay.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting because they, you know, how will the Sharks respond to basically being called out after?
Right.
I mean, they had won 4 in a row, 5 of 6, 6 of 8, basically on a pretty good streak for the last couple weeks. And then McClellan just chewed their ass out after that game, and they deserved it. So how are they going to respond? And I'm not necessarily even talking about the big guns. I'm talking about the tiny guns, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like Tyler Kennedy, is he going to respond in this next game? Is he even going to play? I mean, maybe he's not going to play.
Yeah. He might be out.
He might be out, you know?
And I don't know.
Someone like,
Jordan Glendening.
Yeah. I mean, cause the guys who can help from the AHL level are up right now.
Yeah, pretty much.
Because there's not really, I mean, there's guys down there that maybe in a year or two might be able to help someone like Tarasov or someone like that. I mean, I haven't been paying much attention, admittedly, to the Worcester Sharks.
Let's pull open the team.
We're looking at the stats here, but
let's have a look here.
You know, someone like that, you're certainly not looking for them to contribute right now. So let's take a look at Freddie Hamilton, Tarasov, 18 points. Brody Bracken Reed. Kearns. I mean, he's you're not looking at him to, boy. Oh, these are brutal stats here from the Worcester Sharks.
They really are
not good at all.
Yeah.
I'm looking at the forwards here. You're seeing names like James Livingston, Rylan Schwartz, Uriah Hayes, Brody Reed. Oh, Dan De Silva's back.
Yeah, he's back.
Sebastian Stahlberg. I mean, these are not guys that you're gonna get any sort of help from.
Right.
So I think it's possible. I think it's possible that we could see a trade coming for the Sharks if some of these injuries are long term.
Well, the good thing is we get to play the Oilers next, which is, you know, the cure of many ills.
Well, you hope so.
Well,
play bad against the Oilers.
Yeah.
Oh man, that's gonna be so disheartening.
I love. I think it was Matthew Barnaby who had a tweet. He said in Hudson, Ontario. It wasn't Hudson, Ontario, but he was like, in Hudson, Ontario, it's, you know, -22 today, nice and cold, but not as cold as Yakupov, where it's -25. Now Yakupov is -25, dude. He's not even playing. He's like a fourth liner at this point. Wow. Brutal. They should just trade him. Well, they can't trade him now because he sucks, but.
No, but I bet his stock is not that low. You know, yeah.
There's going
to
be
so many teams to be willing to take.
Give him a chance.
Take a risk on him. But they're just one of the most grossly mismanaged teams that have made multiple changes behind the bench and in the front office, and no one seems to have a clue of what to do with this roster that's filled with young, talented skill players and a bunch of garbage.
Right. It's
and
true.
That's just not how you build a team. They've built it so poorly, and no one seems to be willing to make a bold move.
You got to make a difficult decision at this point.
You do. You have to move somebody.
Because then all of a sudden you're wasting the productive and inexpensive, I might add. Not anymore for Taylor Hall, but some of these guys, you got to get production at the right time when they're young.
I thought it was interesting when Ted Nolan took over interim in Buffalo, and he said this on the NHL podcast from TSN, you mm-hmm. know, that they had three underage players on that team, and I think he sent them all back to junior. He said, I don't want them here, because you don't want losing to be acceptable.
Right.
And you don't want to put these kids through this. Like, why should... And all these guys know is losing. Taylor right. Hall. I mean, at this level. Eberle. I mean, like, that guy's a very good player. And all he knows is losing. Nugent Hopkins in Edmonton.
Yep. And now Justin Schultz.
Yeah, this is just... It's a losing culture up there.
Mm-hmm.
And... They're going to have to make a tough decision, but I don't think they're going to do it. I think they're too chicken to do it.
I think they're too chicken. So after Edmonton, do we get to see Colorado again?
In Colorado.
And then we get to see Chicago in Chicago on Sunday. So that's going to be the game to watch, clearly.
Yeah. I guess so.
Yeah.
If the Sharks are down wing goals in that game, that's going to be... I mean... That's just another inexperienced player in the lineup. You know, mm-hmm. I'm not going to feel real good about that. I think Niemi would have to kind of play out of his mind to give the Sharks a shot in that one. I mean, going to Colorado too, that's going to be tough. You need to start, just get back on track. Wait, beat Edmonton. Yeah. And
they're a team that everybody else in the world has beaten.
Yeah.
We got to beat them too.
Right.
Yeah.
Are we the biggest downer podcast for the fifth best team in the league? Like, are we you know what? I want to hear from the listeners.
Yeah.
Do you feel the same way that we do? Because I feel like the emails we get are in the same tone.
Yeah. They're all like, this is weak.
This is Sharks, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Or are you listening to this going, these guys are such a downer. Like, this, with Sharks are having a good season. So let's focus on the positive.
We should.
And I think we do when it's there, but it's hard to get excited about blowing third period leads, giving up points in shootouts to teams that are behind you in the standings, and losing key players to injury.
And then getting crushed to teams ahead of you in the standings.
Yeah, it's just hard to get excited about that. So hopefully we'll be back talking about a big win in Chicago, dude. It's possible.
It's possible.
Anything's
dude.
Possible.
Chin up, dude. The Sharks are still in the thick of things.
Yeah, they are. They're more than in the thick. They are.
Happy New Year, dude.
Happy New Year.
Hate the show? Want to get your questions on the air? Email questions at dudesonhockey.com. Dudes on Hockey is not affiliated with the San Jose Sharks organization or the National Hockey League.